Well, today I'm going to conclude this series on the fruit of the Spirit. And we've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit in light of our relationships. That was my intentional purpose for sharing them in light of relationships. So we come to the ninth today, which is self-control. Proverbs 25:28 says, "A man without self-control is as defenseless as a city with broken down walls." We all know what a lack of self-control can do in our lives. It can lead to all kinds of problems. In fact, anything out of control can, be it uncontrolled anger or lust or spending or eating or alcohol or ambition. And we could talk about a lack of self-control in each and every one of those areas, but I want us to focus on one thing today, especially in light of our relationships, and that is an uncontrolled tongue. I believe that ruins relationships more than anything else. Doing a little stats research here, that it says that the average American has about 30 conversations a day. We spend about a fifth of our life talking. Some people even more. We speak enough words in a year to fill 66, 800-page books. I would have thought it was more. That the average man speaks about 20,000 words a day and the average woman about 30,000. No real surprise there. We're a nation of talkers, whether it's TV talk shows, radio talk programs, podcasts, we love to talk. And if we're going to do all that talking, and we certainly are, there's going to be times where our mouth is going to get us into trouble, but we can't let it defeat us. I want to read from the book of James, chapter 3. I'm going to read 2 through 10. "We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses, we make them obey us. We can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be." Well, this is a tremendous passage with so many rich insights about the tongue here. And we could camp out here all morning. But what I want to point out in this passage is James, in one of his analogies, likens the uncontrolled tongue to a fire. And he said, a whole forest can be set on fire by a tiny spark. I remember reading an article some years ago that this happened in Australia. Someone carelessly threw a cigarette out the window and 600 square miles of forest in Australia were burned. And several houses were lost in that fire, all from one cigarette. One careless word can destroy a relationship. It can send a friendship up in smoke. Have you ever met a verbal arsonist? They're critic. They love to criticize, gossip, blame, boast. Gossip spreads like wildfire, doesn't it? We even use that term. It can char the landscape of our lives. How many careers, how many marriages have been destroyed by a thoughtless word? How many children's self-worth crushed by a bad phrase? Proverbs 13:3 says, "He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin." So we need to know how to manage our mouths if we're going to successfully manage our lives. So let me give you four principles from God's Word that I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to work in and through you in this area of your life, your tongue. And the first is, think before speaking. Very simple, think before speaking. A couple of verses out of Proverbs. It's from chapter 16. Intelligent people think before they speak. What they say is then more persuasive. Proverbs 18:20. You have to live with the consequences of everything you say. Proverbs, there's so much wisdom there. Someone said that you can't put your foot in a closed mouth. And that's true. When I was a young Christian, I got saved within the first year, I read through the whole Bible 2 times. So it was the first time reading through the Bible that I came to Proverbs. And I was reading through the book of Proverbs, probably after being a Christian a couple months. I thought, wow, there's so much wisdom here. Naturally, it's a wisdom literature. But I said, Proverbs has a lot about the tongue. And I realized that as a young believer, my tongue was out of control. Profanity, you know, putting people down, mocking people, saying, you know, sarcastic things. Yeah. And I just realized right then and there, it's like, Lord, this is awful. You know, I'm a believer now, and how I'm talking, it's so bad. So would you help me with this? So from that point on, I really took the Proverbs, what it said about the tongue and talking too much and being too flippant and cynical and all that. I took that very seriously. And the Holy Spirit did begin to work in me and change my tongue. But this passage says that you have to live with the consequences of everything you say because it sets off a chain reaction. We've all seen that happen in our lives. Dad comes home from work. He's had a bad day. The boss has been on his case. And so he's upset and he yells at Mom, and Mom has been upset and yells at older brother to clean up his messy room. And then older brother gets mad at younger sister and yells at her, and she kicks the dog, and the dog bites the cat, and the cat, scratches the toddler, and the toddler bites the head off of Barbie. And, you know, it's like this could have all been settled if Dad would have just come home, grabbed Barbie, and bit the head off. And then we would not have had to have all that in-between chaos. Our words impact situations and people. It's a chain reaction, and we've all seen it and experienced it. What you say either lifts your spirit or discourages you, makes you healthy or unhealthy, wise or foolish, builds you and others up or tears them down, can get you hired and can get you fired. Think before you speak. Proverbs 20:25. It is a trap for a man to dedicate something rashly and only later consider his vows. So the wisdom in this verse tells us to make your commitments wisely. Don't make promises to people that you don't intend to keep. Consider the cost before you make an agreement or sign a contract. It's easier to get into debt than out of debt. Easier to get into a bad relationship than get out of one. It's easier to say yes to everything than no. Think before you speak. Don't make rash vows that you can't keep. I know I've said yes to persuasive salesmen and then immediately knew, oh, I shouldn't have done that. And then I was too proud to go back and get out of it. So think before you speak. That's the first principle. Holy Spirit, help me to think before I just blurt out something. Second thing is speak the truth. Speak the truth. We have a phrase in our life is honesty is the best policy. But most of us will hedge a little bit. Like most of the time it is. Sometimes you got to shade the truth a little bit. Why do we do that? Why do we hold back from honesty and telling the truth? Probably we fear conflict. We don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to make waves. So we just hold back the truth a little bit, stay quiet. And some of us have gotten pretty good at that. In relationships, when there's no honesty, you hide and hurl. You hide behind excuses. And you hurl blame. It's all your fault. You always, you never. We keep hiding and hurling until pretty soon there's no relationship left to hide and hurl in. But maybe you would say, well, Pastor, I've tried to tell the truth at all times, and honesty is the best policy, but it blows up and it just doesn't work. My boss doesn't want to hear the truth. My husband doesn't want to hear an honest opinion on things. He gets mad and I don't want to face his anger anymore. So I'm just going to sit here and keep my mouth shut. And We see that on social media. You know, you put out your Christian viewpoint or a conservative viewpoint, and, you know, somebody just blows up on you, and you just think, ah, oh, it's just not worth it. I'm just going to stay quiet. Or I'm not going to speak the truth. Intelligent people think before they speak. What they say is then more persuasive. Dishonesty causes trouble. Sometimes silence means there's a hidden agenda. Dishonesty leads to mistrust, suspicion, bitterness, fear, resentment, false peace. Those are the fruit of dishonesty. Proverbs 24:26 says, an honest answer is the sign of a true friendship. It's showing real love. Dishonesty is a lack of love. Another verse from Proverbs 28:23. In the end, people appreciate frankness more than flattery. If you're not honest, then you're just postponing the inevitable. You're going to have to deal with it someday. It festers, you scratch it, it gets painful and irritating, and then something happens and you blow up and there's all this fallout all over everybody, and they're surprised what's happening here. So if you don't want to live in that cycle continually, speak the truth. You will find that your intimacy and closeness with others grows. Speak the truth. That's the second principle. Here's the third. Speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Right from Ephesians 4:15, so where I took it from. Speak the truth in love. Proverbs 12:18 says, thoughtless words can wound as deeply as any sword, but wisely spoken words can heal. Every time you speak, you either build up or tear down, heal or hurt, encourage or discourage. So speak the truth in love. Some people justify insensitivity by calling it candor. Now, you can be frank without being tactless. Truth isn't a club to beat other people down with. I tell it like it is. You can hear the pride in that, can't you? And I found that people who say that the most rarely do, because they're speaking from their limited perspective only. And it might not even be the truth what they're talking about. Again, from Proverbs, a lot of Proverbs, a lot of wisdom in that book on the tongue. 15:4, gentle words cause life and health. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Great example of this. A pastor visited a man in the hospital. He slipped into a coma and had been for several weeks. The wife was present, and the doctor came into the room and loudly was talking to the wife. Look, you just got to get prepared for this. He is not coming out of this coma. And the pastor was upset by his insensitivity of the doctor. So when he left, he went over and grabbed that man's hand and prayed. But he said to him then, John, I know you heard every word that doctor said, and it's not true. You're going to come out of this coma. You're going to get better. And you know what? He did. But as the pastor was saying those words to this man, he said tears came down his face. So he did hear and knew exactly what was being said. He got better. He went home. He got saved and got involved in that pastor's church. How about that? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So do you realize the power of your words to heal or hurt your children, your spouse, your friends? And think about the tremendous power in encouraging words that could make a turning point for someone's life, that could bring them back from the dead spiritually, emotionally, even physically. I'm going to give you some homework here. All right? It's easy. Try to encourage at least one person a day. But I got something here for the really ambitious. Try to do something encouraging for everyone that you have a contact with. It could just be a smile or a wave, a blessing, a friendly hello. Maybe a flash prayer. You know what that is? You just say a prayer for them as they're going by. Here's what I wish you guys would do. I plan to do it this week. I'm going to write our Colonel Hines, our Sheriff's Department, and just encourage those men and women. You know, I think they're really in a lot of stress right now and not getting a lot of love. So I'd encourage you to do the same. Email or write your sheriff. Maybe it's Henrico or Richmond. Any fool can be negative. It takes no brains to be a critic. And they never build statues for critics. The only people critics criticize, those are the people that get statues built in their honor. It's easy to be negative and tear people down. But it takes someone of character to build others up, to speak the truth in love. And here's the last principle. Ask God for help daily. Ask God for help daily. Psalm 141:3 really sums up this one very well, I think. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. This is a prayer. Keep watch over the door of my lips. And here's how it reads in the Living Bible. Help me, Lord, to keep my mouth shut. Except when I talk to you. Help me to talk to you a lot. Now, I can't do this in my own power. I realized that as a young believer when my mouth was way out of control. And James said, no one can tame the tongue, but God can. But really, the mouth isn't the problem. You know what the problem is? It's the heart. The mouth only reveals what's in the heart. It displays our true colors. What I say is what I'm really like on the inside. Jesus said this, what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. So my words reveal my heart. Think about when you go to the doctor. What's the first thing he says? Get out your checkbook. No, before that. He says, stick out your tongue, right? The physical tongue says a lot about what's going on the inside of you. Then he gets out his thermometer and puts it in your mouth, hopefully. By taking your temperature of your mouth, he can tell a lot about whether you're well or not. So what's on the inside of the tree is what's going to come out on the outside of the tree, the fruit it bears. A cherry tree is not going to produce apples. What's ever on the inside of you is eventually going to come out of your mouth. From the mouth, the heart speaks. Now, I've heard people say this. In fact, I've done it myself. Say something really crude, something horrible, and then say, oh, man, I don't know what came over me. It's not like me to say that. Yes, it is. It's exactly like you to say that. It's exactly like me to say that. You said something mean because you're mean on the inside. You have an angry mouth because you have an angry heart. You have a negative mouth because you have a fearful heart. You talk all the time because you have an unsettled heart. Your judgmental mouth shows that you have a guilty heart. Someone who boasts all the time has a prideful heart. A critical mouth, an insecure heart. A foul mouth, an impure heart. The guy who says hell all the time because he's got hell in his heart. Someone who says encouraging words has a happy heart. And gentle words shows forth a loving heart. And someone who's controlled in their speech shows that they have a peaceful heart. Our mouth just reveals our heart. So what's the remedy? Go to a monastery and take a vow of silence? No, it's to get a new heart. That's what I need. And God specializes in heart transplant. Jesus is the world's greatest cardiologist. Ezekiel 18:31 says, rid yourself of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. I need that, but I can't do that for myself. I want to exchange my old heart for a new one, Lord. So what do I got to do? I got to pray to him like David did in Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit in me. So I need to talk to God about this. I need to be stone cold honest with God. Lord, my mouth is out of control and it's revealing to me that my heart isn't right. He wants to help you. He will help you control your tongue. He'll give you a fresh start. Here's the deal. I repent, he forgives. It's a good deal. He gives me a new slate, a start over, a do again. So the ninth fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And as I was saying that, I thought, self-control. That's kind of like a misnomer. Because I'm not in control. It sounds like I've got to control this. I've got to fix me. I've got to do this. I call the shots. No, I like this phrase better. Self under control. That works for me. Self, me, under God's control. Yeah, that's what I need. James 1:26, Living Bible. Anyone who says he is a Christian but doesn't control his sharp tongue is just fooling himself, and his religion isn't worth much. Boy, as a pastor, I get to stand in front of you and share God's word. And then I go home and say something unloving. And it's like, wow, that stinks. That grieves my heart. And I know the Lord has really helped me over the years to get a control of my tongue. And I know I've changed. I like what Sidlow Baxter says here. And I'm almost wrapping this up. The proof that you have the Holy Spirit in your life is not that you speak in an unknown tongue, but rather control the tongue you know about. That's pretty good. Last thing I want to share with you is something I think that really summarizes the fruit of the Spirit very well. And thank you, Sue, for giving me this a long time ago, the Max Lucado. I want to share this. No. Really? Very cool. Well, I'm going to read it to you all. Okay? Max Lucado, I choose love. No occasion justifies hatred. No injustice warrants bitterness. I choose love. Today, I will love God and what God loves. I choose joy. I will invite my God to be the God of circumstance. I will refuse the temptation to be cynical, the tool of the lazy thinker. I will refuse to see people as anything less than human beings created by God. I will refuse to see any problem as anything less than an opportunity to see God. I choose peace. I will live forgiven. I will forgive so that I may live. I choose patience. I will overlook the inconveniences of the world. Instead of cursing the one who takes my place, I'll invite him to do so. Rather than complain that the wait is too long, I will thank God for a moment to pray. Instead of clenching my fist at new assignments, I will face them with joy and courage. I choose kindness. I will be kind to the poor, for they are alone. I will be kind to the rich, for they are afraid. I will be kind to the unkind, for such is how God has treated me. I choose goodness. I will go without a dollar before I take a dishonest one. I will be overlooked before I will boast. I will confess before I will accuse. I choose goodness. I choose faithfulness. Today I will keep my promises. My debtors will not regret their trust. My associates will not question my word. My wife will not question my love. My children will never fear that their father will not come home. I choose gentleness. Nothing is won by force. I choose to be gentle. If I raise my voice, may it be only in praise. If I clench my fist, may it be only in prayer. If I make a demand, may it be only of myself. I choose self-control. I am a spiritual being. After this body is dead, my spirit will soar. I refuse to let what will rot rule the eternal. I choose self-control. I will be drunk only by joy. I will be impassioned only by my faith. I will be influenced only by God. I will be taught only by Christ. I choose self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. To these I commit my day. If I succeed, I will give thanks. If I fail, I will seek grace. And then when the day is done, I will place my head on my pillow and rest. Thank you, Lord, for the fruit of the Spirit. It's the Spirit's, your Holy Spirit's fruit working out through us. Lord, do change our heart. Change us on the inside so that what is expressed by us, all these different fruit, will glorify you and help us where we need it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and close with